still my joy.
Exactly.
I don't care what kind of congregation I got. Nothing's going to steal my joy. Huh? What about you? You got joy today?
Yes.
Listen. My wife's home sick. I'm a free man. Is that on camera? Take that off the camera. She watches that. Don't do that.
I'm going to call and tell her.
Hey, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Tell her I'm going to take care of the special next week. If y'all don't care, I'll see you soon.
Oh, good. Amen. All right. Good deal. All right. You know what you're going to sing?
Yep.
What you going to sing?
It's called All My Hope.
All love preacher. What'd you say?
All My Hope.
All My Hope.
All My Hope.
All My Hope. Hey, that sounds great. Look forward to it. All right. How many of you consider yourself to be emotional? Everybody get your hands up. Come on, guys. Get them up. Y'all are emotional, too. That's right. That's right. Now, emotions is not always a bad thing if it's in check. But Satan loves to deal with our emotions. Because it can either put us on a high or take us about as low as we can get. Now, as Christian people, if we are emotional beings, which we all are, we need to understand that emotions depend on several things. If I'm in a good mood, depends on several things. If I'm in a bad mood, it's because several things have happened. Okay? So, our mood, our emotions, make us up as human beings. And we all know that if we're in a good mood, we're a lot of fun to be around. It's good times. But Lord, when we're not, it's bad times, horrible times. And if we ride on our emotions, and Satan knows that, then of course he's going to try to create things in our path that puts us in a bad mood. Because mood equals action. According to what kind of mood I'm in, is how I'm going to act. Make sense so far? Now, when you're in a good mood, it requires action. You see that. You smile, you joke, you're happy. When you're in a bad mood, it's called another term. It's called react. Because if I'm in a bad mood, you look at me wrong, I'm going to react. Make sense?
Yeah.
Psychology 101. Alright? That's what it's all about. Now, as we have been talking about this whole entire 2019 on how important church attendance is, believe me, the more that we come to church, it helps us, I think, with our mood. If you're in a good place where you're loved, you're cared about, you hear the Word of God, great music today, huh? This music department surprises me sometimes.
Sometimes.
Man, what good music. Uplifting music. Fast music. When the roll is calling, y'all. Oh, my goodness gracious. Some good stuff. Good special. Just a lot of good. And music sets the tone for worship. Believe it or not, even I set the tone sometimes. That's why I say it. I'm in a good mood today. Mama's home sick. Well, I'm going to take care of Mama. Don't worry about that. I bought her $3 worth of medicine. I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. All right? I went all out. I could have spent $4, but I spent $3. All right? So, but in all seriousness, do keep her. We think it's just a cold of a deal working on her, but, you know, just sort of, she didn't want to come. She probably felt well enough to come, but you don't ever like to take as you are, and all of that kind of thing. So, please keep her in prayer. All right. As we continue, Larry, you can turn up on the screen. being unfulfilled. We started this last week. Believe me, we have so many people that should be filled with the joy of Christ. I'm talking about church people. That should be filled with the joy of Christ. But for some reason, some of the most depressed people on the planet today, Christian people. Now I realize life's hard. And it can get hard. One phone call, one email, run into the wrong person, and it can set the mood from now on. But understand this. Being unfulfilled is something that Satan wants, but Jesus doesn't want it. And as we look at how this gospel right here shows us how to understand to be filled with Christ and His Spirit. Our last scripture. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is not capitalized here, which means, what all do you put before Christ? The more that you put before Christ, the more unfulfilled you will be. And that's just the truth. It's the truth in my life and the truth in your life. Listen, everywhere we turn, this is true, or so it seems, the world promises us fulfillment, the world. It promises us contentment, the world. It promises us happiness. That's the world. But the contentment that the world offers is fleeting and incomplete. What this means is, whatever short time of happiness you find in the world, it will go away. All right? Whatever you find that in. And you'd be surprised what some people think brings them happiness. A lot of people says money brings them happiness. No. Oh, it may buy you stuff. Sooner or later, stuff breaks down. Stuff does not give you total happiness because stuff does not last forever. The only thing that lasts forever is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Thankfully, the fulfillment that God offers is all-encompassing, which means it surrounds us, and it's everlasting, means it lasts forever. If you're feeling, probably ought to say when, because there are always times in your life when you feel unfulfilled. If you're feeling unfulfilled, and if you'd like a solution to that dilemma, do you want a solution? Sure you do. Try asking yourself two simple questions. Two simple questions. Here they are. Am I seeking fulfillment first and foremost through God? Or, there's always an or. Or, am I seeking fulfillment through other means? Question number two. Am I using the gifts and talents that God has given me? Everybody here has a gift. Now we think of gifts as being able to play that guitar, play a piano, sing through this microphone and carry a tune. Be able to run a computer back there. Being able to preach. Yeah, that's all talent. But that's not the only talents. Talent is strictly doing anything that God has called you to do. Getting up and being able to get here today is a talent. You know why? Because a lot of people don't have the ability to get here. Number one, they may not be able to walk. Number two, they may not have a way. Number two, they may be bed stricken. And yet, you can come to church. Even if you're coming on a walker. Like Janet does. I have thrown that thing all over my car. I throw it in the trunk. I'm not talking about Janet, I'm talking about Walter. Well, I throw Janet off of the car too, but that's another thing. Yeah. But it doesn't make any difference. If it takes a Walker to get her here, that's what you get. Because she wants to be in God's house. Now, another reason I bring Janet to the point, I want you guys just to keep her in thoughts and prayers. My dear, dear, dear friend, Brother Jim, will be gone a year here pretty soon. And I want to tell you something. Janet, I know it's been a very tough year for you. But we're proud of you for what you do and the presence that you bring to this church when you walk in here.
And a lot.
Give us a lady a hand. That's right. And we are. God's word, listen to this, instructs us to worship him and only him. Right? Right. Yet we sorely are tempted to do otherwise. We are tempted, listen to this, to seek fulfillment from worldly sources. And when we do so, we distance ourselves from God as we mistakenly worship things such as fame, fortune, popularity, and personal happiness. Fame, fortune, popularity, and personal happiness. And somehow or another, we think we can find that in stuff, in things, cars, boats, houses, clothes, jewelry, you name it. But I tell you this, I don't blame anybody that works for a living and can make a good living and has money. I got no problem with that. As long as you put it in perspective, that you understand from every dime that you get, you need to tithe it to God, or next thing you know, you might not have that dime no more. Number two, you understand this, that no matter what I got, I can say I worked for it, maybe I worked two jobs, three jobs, four jobs, whatever. I educated myself. I got a trade. That's why I make the living that I make. That's all fine and good, and I'm proud of you for doing that. But you understand one thing. Everything that you make is still a gift from God. If you make $5 an hour or $50 an hour, it's because God gave you the ability to do it. Give the Lord a hand. The world makes promises that it simply cannot keep. That's right. That's the truth. The world promises us pleasure and abundance. But genuine abundance is not a function of worldly possessions or personal happiness. Genuine abundance is a function of our thoughts, our actions, and our relationship with God. True happiness from a Christian form is not about stuff. It's about what's here. Amen. Understand that? It's not about stuff. It's about what's in here. Because when I take my last breath, I take no stuff with me, period. I don't care what you got. You leave it to your family, all they're going to do is fight over it. You know. Why don't you leave it to the church? They'll do something good with it. And I'm not just halfway joking here, but I'm saying, but you know good and well, I think it's fine and good. Leave your family some things. Leave them a little bit of money and leave them a little bit of this and that. But we all know, folks, that it just goes from one generation to one generation to one generation, and it's still just stuff. I would rather leave my kids Jesus Christ than I would leave them one lousy guy. Sorry about that.
I'd rather have you. Aww.
And I know she means that, and I appreciate that. But we understand that my relationship with God If it's in the truest form, I don't have to worry about stuff. Because my needs are going to be met. Maybe my wants, maybe not. Don't matter. But my needs are going to be met if I'm in a right relationship with God. And some people will say, well, I know somebody that I've never stepped foot in the doors of church and they got all the money that God can give them. I said, well, I don't know whether God gave it to them or not. But let me tell you this. When they meet God one day face to face and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, I guarantee you, if it was thousands or millions, they would give it all back to be able to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's coming one day. We're going to meet God face to face. We ain't going to meet him with our billfold. We're not going to meet him with our checkbook. We're not going to meet him with our stuff. We're going to meet him with our heart. And that's the only thing that's going to get you into the kingdom of God and say, welcome home, is what's in your heart. You ain't going to be able to write a big enough check because he don't want your money. Not at that level. And not that he really wants your money here, but we all know the church has to have it to stay open. And that's why that God's word says you need to tithe your money. So that the church stays open because it does have to operate. It's got its bills to pay, it's got its staff to pay, and everything to keep it open so the word of God can go forward. So that camera has money, we can put the gospel all over the world. We all understand that. But understand that what's in your heart is going to make the difference between heaven and hell. We must build our lives on the firm foundation of God's promises. We must place God first in our lives. Nothing else will suffice. Sometimes amid the hustle and bustle of life, and man is in a hustle and is in a bustle, here on earth, we can forfeit the joy of Christ as we wrestle with the challenges of daily living. Do you wrestle with that? Daily living. We call it a routine. A routine, on some levels, may not necessarily be a bad thing. I am a creature of routine. Especially when you're on dialysis. Your whole life is based on that schedule because that's what keeps you alive. So I'm a routine person. I pretty well tell you what I'm doing on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. And I live by a calendar. Monica, I have to do that. And I tell you, if you don't live by a calendar, that means you still got your memory. I live by a calendar. I couldn't tell you right now what I'm doing tomorrow, but when I look at that calendar, I can tell you. Because we write it, Monica's got a calendar, I got a calendar, our dog's got a calendar, everybody's got a calendar. All the dogs got to have a calendar, they have to go to the bed every so often and get shampooed. And so even the dog's got a calendar. That's my world, welcome to my world. Now, in that, I always look at it on Sunday afternoon for the entire week on what's coming up. If I know that you're having surgery or something's coming up, we put it on the calendar so that we can either call or ready to go because I'm not allowed in hospitals no more. But to understand, you know, we live by that calendar. And that's the way it should be. But when it comes to Sunday, I don't have to put that on the calendar because it's such a routine to me over 40-something years that I know what I'm going to do on Sunday. I just know what I'm going to do. But the world we live in today says you better write it down even on Sunday. Because, as we have all talked, Sunday in this world we live in today is just another day. And you can debate whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. But it's the facts of life, and that's not going to get any better, you know? And I tell you, in some ways, we have promoted this. You go out and eat on Sundays after church, no wonder y'all hoping I'll shut up soon. Because if you ain't one of the first ones in line, you're going to have to wait on Sunday afternoon. Even if you go to McDonald's. But Lord, if you go to a high-class place like Burger King or something, then Lord, you really got to wait. Because one of the main things that Christian people love to do after church is eat. Amen. Eat, eat. I'm not cooking on Sunday. I've worked 5-6 days a week. I'm going to go out, and old man, you're going to buy me a dinner, and it's going to be a good dinner. I don't hear nothing about it. Just shut up. We're going to go. And if it cost you $100, it cost you $100. I am going to, don't raise your hand, Scott. I'm not done.
I got coupons.
That's because you're single, Scott. Tell him, Chris, turn around and say, that's because you're single, you know, that's right. But we get into routines of life. And Satan sometimes can slip into that routine just a little bit of mess with it. Because all it takes is one little thing to get out of whack and messes up your routine, especially if you get sick. Somebody else gets sick. Kids get sick. Parents get sick. You know? Work. Oh, work can affect your routine big time, can you? Sometimes you work this big word called overtime. All that. We've all been there. We've all done that. Because your employer looks at Sunday as just another day. Ain't nothing to them. Okay? Even I, church here, I require you to work on Sunday. Isn't that right? But in all seriousness, the world just sees it as another day. You should not see it as another day. You should see that this is my opportunity and my time. Because I do believe that one of these days, God is going to ask you, what did Sunday mean to you? Or if we have church on Saturday evening or whatever it may be, whenever the church goes, what did the church mean to you? And he's going to say, put it in your own words. Well, I want to know, what did the church mean to you? How often did you go? Was you in a good mood when you was there? Did you hate every minute you was there? Did you hate getting up and like, oh, I'm not going today? What really did the church mean to you? And you might be surprised how some of us are going to answer that one day. This place is going to disappear one day. I'm going to tell you right now. This place is going to be gone one day. Because when we leave this world, Satan will take his place over for a short period of time. But the church as you know it is temporal. It ain't going to be here forever. As long as God's Holy Spirit is here, the church will be here. But you're looking at something one day that we're not going to need anymore. And I say this almost at every funeral that I preach. Because I know most of these funeral directors around here. I've been around for a long time. I said, one of these days, we're going to put you out of business. Because there's going to come a day, number one, we ain't going to need a church because we're going to be in church all the time. We're going to be around Jesus all the time. It ain't a Sunday deal. It's just going to be an every day. And we ain't going to need funeral homes no more. Put them out of business. We ain't going to worry about going out to eat. We ain't going to be worried about food. God's going to first and all for us. If we eat, I don't know. In my spiritual life, I mean, the older I get, I live to eat. You know, not like Larry, but I live to eat. Then, none of that's going to matter. The things that we have to do today to sustain life, one of these days, Jesus is going to do it for us. We're not going to need a hospital. We're not going to need medical staff. Now, Libby, as much as I hate to say that, we ain't going to need dialysis either, honey. I think you're on board with that, aren't you? Huh? We're not going to need it no more. Because Jesus will take care of it all. When I think about that, that's just what should fill my day. That whatever I'm dealing with today, this is temporal. Whether I'm sick or someone else I love is sick or something's wrong, you're not going to need your employer no more. You're not going to get a paycheck no more because you're not going to need it. You're not going to need a bank no more. You're not going to need your credit cards no more. You're not going to need your computer no more. You're not going to need your TV no more. You're not going to need your games no more. You're not even going to need your cars no more. No more insurance. Man, it sounded more like heaven all the time, isn't it? All that stuff we have to have and all that stuff we have to write a check for. We have to pay for it. We're going to put programs out of business. We're not going to need no more pharmacies. None of that. We're not going to need it no more. had to go in. I've got 10 pair of glasses and I've lost all 10 pair. So I had to go in the other day and buy me another 10 pair. But I ain't gonna need these things no more. So when I think about that, if I'm having a bad day and I'm feeling unfulfilled, just know that Christ has my backside and he's with me. Walk every day with him. Pray every day. Listen every day. And if you feel yourself getting overwhelmed with life, stop, take a deep breath. Don't panic. You know, they tell you the worst thing you can do if you're swimming and all of a sudden you feel yourself giving out is you go to panic. When you panic, you're drowned. Relax a little bit. Most everybody can float. The more you weigh, the more you float. Oh, I can float for a long time. But you're not going to float if you panic. If you panic, you're going to sink. You with me? Relax sometimes and just let God hold you up. And he's going to be just like Peter. Every once in a while, he may let the waters get up to our neck. Because believe me, every day he's teaching us a lesson. But he will never let you drown in life. Calm down. Relax a second. Take a deep breath. Say, Lord, be with me. Float for a little bit. Because see, when you float, you're basically at the well of the waves. When you float is when you really, really get your faith in Jesus and let him lead the way. Because when you're swimming, you're going your way. If it's the same way that God wants you to go, that's fine. But sometimes we go the opposite direction. When you stop and float, especially if you're in the ocean, you're going to go where the current takes you. And sometimes you need to make sure that God's in charge of your you get the picture? You understand? Give the Lord a hand of applause. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, your word. May it go forth today. With ears willing to listen and a heart that's willing to act. If there be one here today that is lost, I don't care what age, I don't care what situation, if you're here today and you've never made public your confession of Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. Just come and take me by the hand and say, Brother Roger, I want to make public my salvation. Let me have a word of prayer with you. Let me welcome you to the kingdom of God. If the angels in heaven begin to sing. If you need a quiet time at this altar, maybe there's something you need to pray about or someone you need to pray about, we invite you to come. Maybe you need me to pray with you and you come, and I'll be glad to do that. God's Spirit is in this place. How thankful we are for his amazing grace. In Jesus' name.